Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon, and we are guest-free today. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And I got some other things I'm going to share with you here this afternoon as well, but let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity we had to be on the air today. Pray that you would bless the program. Use us for your glory. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ and encourage believers in their walk with you. And above all, help us to lift up and glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As I said, Pastor Al Davis, be with you until 2 o'clock, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us here, and you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can also find a link there to our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. And, of course, we have our Friday night Bible study tonight at 7 o'clock. If you're listening, you're invited. If you're not doing anything tonight and you just want a chance to sit around with some of God's people this evening, or you got questions and you want to know, it's an informal Bible study where you bring the questions and we just take some time and we just take a look in the Word of God together. We enjoy some fellowship. It's informal, and we have refreshments and things, and we'd be glad to have you visit us at our Bible study tonight. And of course, we meet at 4174. Still trying to get our new address down just right, but 4174 Wheatley Road in Richfield, Ohio. And we're in Suite 200 there, you'll find us. And of course, you can find out more. Just go to livewithpastoral.com. Excuse me, that's livewithpastoral.com, and you can link from there to our page for our church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, as well. There's a lot of other things there, past programs, articles and things that I put together, and also including our programs for our Sunday night, Late Night Live with Pastor Al, which is an hour-long program every Sunday night on the station from 11 o'clock until midnight. Well, wanted to touch on a couple of things here that I've been looking at lately, and to start with, I wanted to look at a passage in Galatians. In Galatians chapter number 1 here, the Bible says this, Galatians chapter number 1, and Paul is writing here to address some problems that were happening there, and he, after giving the greeting to them, he says in verse number 6, he goes right to his point. He says, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." He goes on, "But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Now, this is a strong statement that Paul makes here. Let him be accursed, and he repeats it, and he wants us to understand. Now, when you're reading the King James Bible, one of the benefits, I know Pastor Lutz on before us at 1 o'clock, and then, of course, Pastor Rusnak will be following us at 2 o'clock, both of them strong King James Bible preaching pastors, and they give many good reasons why we use the King James Version of the Bible, and no doubt some of our listeners remember and still listen to Bruce Musselman, though he's with the Lord. His program is still on, I believe, Thursdays at 2 o'clock and on the station, but defending the King James Bible, and for a variety of reasons. But let me give you a reason that's right here in this passage. And it's one of the reasons that people who abandon the King James Bible say that it's so difficult. He said here in verse number 6, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the gospel of Christ unto another gospel." Now, he uses the word ye here, and there's a lot of people who find the use of the word ye, just the two letters, Y-E, and also a similar word, T-H-E-E, the, as opposed to the, and they find these difficult words, the and ye, and along with that, you and thou are corresponding words. And they say, why don't they just say you? Why do you have to have this ye in there? Why do you have to have this thee in there? Why do you have to have this thou in there? And let me just give you a quick understanding here so that you knew you would not fear seeing the ye's and the thee's in your King James Bible. They're there for a very good reason. People say, well, it's antiquated. People don't talk that way today. Well, guess what? They didn't talk that way in the 1600s either. See, many languages, Greek and Hebrew in particular, which is the original languages of our scriptures, they have personal pronouns, which we have as well, but they distinguish between singular personal pronouns and plural personal pronouns. Modern English does not. You have the generic you, and context has to determine, help you determine whether it's a singular or a plural personal pronoun. Well, in the 1600s, when the King James translators were coming together, they realized that in order to accurately translate and give us an accurate Bible, a correct Bible, that they wanted some way that they could preserve without misunderstanding the distinction between singular and personal and plural personal pronouns. So what they did in the 1600s is they reached back 200 years to the 1400s to a mode in English language that was by the 1600s largely disused, and they went back to a time when the English language had a distinction between plural personal pronouns and singular personal pronouns. And they brought that back from the past and put it into the King James authorized version of the Bible. And we have that today. And that thing that they did, what they used, is they used these and ye's. And here's the way to understand it. If it starts with TH, like thee, thou, and thine, that's a singular personal pronoun. That way, you can understand the sense of the scripture much better. If it starts with the letter Y, like you, and or well, I should say ye, you, and your, that's a plural personal pronoun. You say, well, it doesn't make any difference. Yes, it does. If I'm talking on the radio and I say, I'm going to give you $100, does that mean everybody on the radio that's listening gets $100? Or does that mean only one person gets the $100? I use this example in our church. I look at the group and I say, does that mean I'm looking only at the person I'm talking to? But if I look at one person and I say, I'm going to give thee $100, that person knows that he's getting the $100. You know, he's not splitting it with somebody. It's not going to everybody. It's just him or her because of the thee and thee, thou, and thine, which starts with a TH. It's a singular personal pronoun. Ye, you, and your starts with a Y. It's a plural personal pronoun. Now, when he says this, and I really didn't intend on spending as much time on that, but there's always a case somebody needs to hear that. When he says here in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, he says, I marvel that ye, he's talking about a group of people. He's not talking about only the Galatians or only a single number of people. Ye has a plural application. Christians, I marvel that Christians, we could put it this way, I marvel that Christians are so soon removed from him that called you, there's the why again, that called Christians into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. which, he says in verse 7, is not another, but there be some that trouble you, meaning trouble Christians, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And this is the problem that we have in the world today. I have been talking the last couple of weeks about the shocking statistic of the Barna poll, that recent George Barna poll that said that 62% of America's pastors do not have a biblical worldview, and then instead they have a hybrid worldview known as syncretism, which is also known as religious pluralism. And this is what Paul was getting at here. There were people who came and corrupted the gospel message. Paul came and preached a clear presentation to the gospel, or of the gospel, to those in Galatia, to those in Corinth, to those in Philippi, and everywhere that he traveled. And one of his best ways of putting it is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we see where Paul starts out in verse 1 saying, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." And again, when you see that, that's plural personal pronoun. And it fits. "Moreover, brethren." Well, brethren, it's the group of believers. He says, "I declare unto you," meaning you believers, "the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." And then he goes on to describe the gospel in a nutshell for us, very, very succinctly and very clearly. He says, starting in verse 3, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me, also as of one born out of due time." So what did Paul say here in regards to the gospel in this passage? He said that it was something that he had received. He delivered something that he had received. So we hear the gospel, we respond to the gospel message, we put our faith in Christ, and then we go out and share the same message with others. That's part of what we're supposed to do. You know, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the what? The gospel." And so he says that he tells us that what he delivered was the message of how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Now, there are those, as Paul wrote to the Galatians in chapter 1, that would pervert the gospel of Christ, and they change the gospel, which becomes another gospel, which is not the gospel at all. And Paul says if somebody preaches another gospel, they are to be accursed. And so when he says that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, if you embrace a religious point of view that claims that Jesus did not die or did not die for our sins, then you are falling prey to another gospel, which is a false gospel. Let me give you an example. A few years ago, Rick Warren and some others were promoting, and it's still out there, what was known as Chrislam. They tried to combine Christianity and Islam into a forced union of beliefs that could appeal to both Christians and Muslims. Well, unfortunately, when you try to take different religious systems with mutually exclusive beliefs and contradictory beliefs, you cannot put them together into any sensible form. Here's what I mean. Paul said one of the key components of the gospel is that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Well, what do the scriptures say? The scriptures say that Jesus Christ went to the cross and he was nailed to the cross. He suffered on the cross. He shed his blood on the cross. He died on the cross. He was taken from the cross. He was buried. His dead body was buried in a tomb. And then 3 days and three nights later, he rose from the dead victorious over sin and death. Well, that's in the gospel. In Islam, the Quran teaches that Jesus Christ did not go to the cross, that it's wrong to say that he died on the cross, but instead a substitute went on the cross, took his place, and so it's a false teaching, it's heresy to teach that Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. Now, how can you reconcile those two together? You cannot. You absolutely cannot. And if somebody tries to do that and still pretends that it's the gospel, they're preaching unto you another gospel, which Paul says twice here in Galatians chapter 1. He says that let him be accursed. Say, well, that's not a nice thing to say. Well, that's what Paul said, and he said it under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Let him be accursed, cursed of God. That's a strong statement. You know, when somebody is cast into the lake of fire for all eternity, they are cursed of God. They are accursed in that sense. So he's saying this is what they deserve, basically. Well, let's follow this a little bit here. We may not get through all of this here today, but back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 4, says he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. You know, there are people, some of these pastors that do not have a biblical worldview, that actually believe that Jesus either did not die, which is what we just talked about, and if that's the case, Paul says let him be accursed, or they believe that he did die, but he never rose from the grave. You know, maybe they forgot where he was buried, they went to a wrong tomb and found that it was empty, or any number of things, or somebody stole the body away. In fact, that was one of the earliest things. Remember, the Jewish leaders went to Pilate and said, you know, that they wanted to cover this up, and I'm not going to take the time to turn there right now because of time's sake, but basically they gave the soldiers a lot of money. And some believe that they gave them probably enough money that they could retire on, or at least a year's worth of income, because to go around and tell people that, the disciples came and stole the body while we were asleep would have meant that these soldiers should have been put to death. So they had to give them enough money that they could leave the military and have enough money to get by on, that they would be willing to give out this saying, that people looked at them and said, well, how come you're still alive? Because the penalty for falling asleep on watch and having that happen would have been the soldiers would have been killed. So all these things come to say, or try to say, Jesus was buried, but he didn't rise again the third day. Some people would say he wasn't even buried. So they're denying the scripture, and Paul says, let them be accursed. Well, here's another thing. He was seen of Cephas. Now, Cephas here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 5, that's Peter. Cephas is the Aramaic version of Peter's name. And so he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and that's the disciples. Well, they were gathered together, the apostles, and then, of course, they had Matthias there later in, I believe it was in Acts chapter 2, added to their number, or Acts chapter 1. And then he says he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. And then it says he was seen of James, of all the apostles, and then even Paul himself saw him. That was on the Emmaus Road where he saw Christ when he was converted. And so this talks about the resurrection of Christ. And so for people who say that he wasn't buried and rose again, they also deny that Jesus Christ was seen, the risen Savior was seen. And again, this is crucial to the gospel. So oftentimes we'll sum up the gospel message as the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And of course, it has to be according to the scriptures. He couldn't die just any old way. He had to hang upon the tree. He had to have his hands and his feet pierced. He had to have his side pierced. He could not be hung, as in hung by the neck. He could not be shot with arrows or in some other method. The method of execution is through the scriptures in the Old Testament even. And he had to die according to the scriptures. He had to be buried in a rich man's tomb, which he was, Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. And then he had to rise again and be seen of others. And of course, he had to be in the tomb 3 days, the rise again the third day. He said that he would be in the belly of the earth 3 days and three nights, just like Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights. And when somebody starts to take away from these things, they're in dangerous territory. But you know what? Unfortunately, today, we live in a society where the very pastors that are supposed to be promoting the gospel message, that are supposed to be protecting and safeguarding the sanctity of the gospel message, they're the very ones that are denying the very message of the Christ that saved them and called them, assuming that they truly were born again. But you know, the problem is a lot of them are just not born again at all. And so as a consequence, we live in a sad time when 62% of America's pastors do not have a biblical worldview. And we also find that this is reflected. Another Barna survey found that 89% of millennials and 86% of Gen Xers and 83% of boomers and 86% of builders also have a non-biblical worldview. I just wrote an article that's online called A Shocking Statistic. You can find it online, and it'll be online at Live with Pastor Al shortly. It's on our Facebook page. You can look for me there, Live with Pastor Al on Facebook, but I'll be getting it up there, and it's in our church newsletter. And I made the comment in there. I said, the average American Christian has become like the Red Queen in Lewis Carroll's classic novel, Through the Looking Glass, who said to Alice, "Why, sometimes I believed as many as six impossible things before breakfast." And that's the sad state that we have in Christianity in America today. We have Paul writing, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." Those words can be written and they are transmitted, so God intends them for us today. And God, I'm sure, marvels at how America's Christians, and not just America, Canada, Europe, Australia, around the world, Christians turning, wholesale, turning away from the Word of God. What are we supposed to do about it? Well, 2 Timothy chapter 4 starts with verse 1, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine." In other words, preach the word, proclaim the gospel message, do what Jesus said, go into all the world, starting right here at home, and preach the gospel. And if you're falling prey to religious pluralism, syncretism, take a look at what you believe and why you believe it and compare it with the Word of God. And if it doesn't match up, I'm sorry, you need to go with the word of God, not what your heart says. To the law and to the testimony, Isaiah said, if they agree not with these things, because there's no light in them. If what you're hearing from the pulpit in your church doesn't line up with the word of God.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight, and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.